All right. Good afternoon, good evening. It's very late here, as has recently been true when we began our studies, but this is September 8th, 2023. The time is 20:22 hours Eastern Daylight Time. Ward Green with you, and we're looking at the article, The Ark of Urartu and the Orient Express, which was an article that we published in 2010. If we look at the end of the Born and Raised article, we see that even as early as 2007, the articles that I was privileged to write were beginning to be released in that year, and then it goes on. The year 2010 was rather unique because in that year I published Joseph, and another article, actually 2009 Joseph came out. So we're just looking at Own, Phoenix, Moses, and the Ark of Urartu. Those four articles were released in the same year. So if we look at the Ark of Urartu, that's what we're looking at right now. And we have a drawing of the Ark, which is from the Ark site in Turkey, where the Ark was discovered. And after Ron Wyatt's first visit to the site in 1977 CE, of our common era, there were surface radar scans, and that enabled these drawings to be made. This one in particular, Noah's Ark National Park, was declared on June 20th, 1987, which is 10 years after Ron first visited the site. And it was reported in Turkey's national newspaper, Hürriyet, the next day. The Ark of Noah was discovered by Ron Wyatt, but by others too. It's just that Ron was the first human who looked at the site and made extensive studies, and even though he wasn't the most technically advanced scientist, like all of Jehovah's humble servants, he did the best he could, and he worked very hard on this. And it was declared, the site of it was declared Noah's Ark National Park 10 years later. Do you know how to build a fire? A much neglected and perhaps long forgotten art, fire building has been practiced since ancient times by people who lived even before the deluge. That is, the deluge of Noah's time. Such as Tubal Cain lived before the deluge. He used fire to refine metals even before the time that we call the era of the dreamers. The time called the era of the dreamers is from BCE 3282 to BCE 1014. In other words, the deluge to Solomon's temple being founded. Fire building is art, but it draws upon a number of skills. Fire may be used in conjunction with a wood stove for heat, but the building of a fire using kindling and larger chunks of wood is far more difficult than fueling a burning fire. A small flame is a fragile thing and must be fed properly. Too much wood too quickly and pieces too large fail to go. Timing is also important if the flame is to be encouraged. And the necessity for air to circulate under the wood also requires consideration in the design of the fire geometry. What first appears to be a simple exercise is not so easy. To be able to quickly build a flame into a roaring fire is quite satisfying, and to be able to design a fire geometry that can sustain the flames to the end is also time-saving. So we're beginning to study this article, Ark of Urartu and the Orient Express. This is part one, this is chapter one, and that was paragraph one. At the end of paragraph one, we see a graph, a chart. It's not a graph, it's a chart, really. Right. I did some color shading on this chart. Ark was provided in certain in certain cultures, the features of the biblical record or Bible record appear in those ancient customs or the ancient histories of those peoples. The body of their ancient knowledge includes certain features such as the ark, the destruction by water, the fact that human seed was saved, and that animal seed was saved. I'm having trouble. Oh, there it is. The full representation of the biblical idea is represented by a black square. And some of the cultures don't have many black squares, but a lot of them have the human seed, or humans being saved, and the destruction by water, and the ark itself being mentioned. A lot more of these cultures have those three things, but they don't always have landing on a mountain, for example, or birds sent out, or survivors doing worship, which we know was to Jehovah from the Bible, but they just don't have, some of them don't have any record of it in some cultures. But the divine favor on the saved is also one that's not unanimously recorded by the different countries in their ancient traditions. Man was in transition, that's a little bit more commonly represented. The divine destruction, also somewhat common, but also in Assyria, a lot of these points are represented. So the traditional record of Assyria gives all of these factors that are mentioned here as having been present, except for man in transgression in one of the Assyrian Babylonian traditions. But I mean, it's very common, it's unanimous otherwise in Assyria. But in the other countries, it's less identical to the Bible. But that's it for that. Our proverb for today, little ones, Proverbs chapter 25, verse 8. Oh, I didn't check this. Hang on. It's perfect. Do not go forth. Wait, hang on. No, it isn't. What am I saying? Did I do this? Did I check it? Let me see. Check it here. I usually check these. Let's see. Oh, yeah, I did. Do not go forth to conduct a legal case hastily, that it may not be a question of what you will do in the culmination of it when your fellow man now humiliates you. Now from Deuteronomy chapter 30. Is this long or short? Fairly short. And it must occur that when all these words will come upon you, the blessing and the malediction, Moses speaking to the Israelites on the plains on the east side of the Jordan opposite Jericho. north of the Dead Sea, which words I have put before you, and you have brought them back to your heart, the blessing and the malediction. Among all the nations where Jehovah your God has dispersed you, and you have returned to Jehovah your God and listened to his voice according to all that I am commanding you today, you and your sons with all your heart and all your soul. Jehovah your God must also bring back your captives and show you mercy and collect you again from all the peoples where Jehovah your God has scattered you. If your dispersed people should be at the end of the heavens, from there Jehovah your God will collect you, and from there he will take you. Jehovah your God will indeed bring you into the land of which your fathers took possession, and you will certainly take possession of it. And he will indeed do you good and multiply you more than your fathers. And Jehovah your God will have to circumcise your heart and the heart of your offspring, that you may love Jehovah your God with all your heart and all your soul for the sake of your life. And Jehovah your God will certainly put all these oaths upon your enemies and those who hate you who have persecuted you. As for you, you will turn and certainly listen to the voice of Jehovah and do all his commandments that I am commanding you today. And Jehovah your God will indeed make you have more than enough in every work of your hand, in the fruit of your belly and the fruit of your domestic animals and the fruitage of your soil, resulting in prosperity, because Jehovah will again exult over you for good, just as he exulted over your forefathers. For you will listen to the voice of Jehovah your God, so as to keep his commandments and his statutes written in this book of the law, because you will return to Jehovah your God with all your heart and all your soul. For this commandment that I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you, nor is it far away. It is not in the heavens, so as to result in saying, "Who will ascend for us into the heavens and get it for us, that he may let us hear it, that we may do it?" Neither is it on the other side of the sea, so as to result in saying, "Who will pass over for us to the other side of the sea and get it for us, that he may let us hear it, that we may do it?" For the word is very near you, in your own mouth and in your own heart, that you may do it. See, I do put before you today life and good and death and bad. If you will listen to the commandments of Jehovah your God, which I am commanding you today, so as to love Jehovah your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, and his statutes, and his judicial decisions, then you will be bound to keep alive and to multiply, and Jehovah your God must bless you in the land to which you are going to take possession of it. But if your heart turns away, and you do not listen, and you are actually seduced and bow down to other gods and serve them, I do tell you today that you will positively perish. You will not lengthen your days on the ground to which you are crossing the Jordan to go to take possession of it. I do take the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you today, that I have put life and death before you, the blessing and the malediction. And you must choose life in order that you may keep alive, you and your offspring, by loving Jehovah your God, by listening to his voice, and by sticking to him. For he is your life and the length of your days, that you may dwell upon the ground that Jehovah swore to your forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give to them. That concludes Deuteronomy chapter 30, one of the best readings I've done so far, despite the fact that I am in dire, dire condition because of a variety of things, probably, but not the least of which is something that is very clear to me and hopefully will be resolved shortly. So the next reading we have, little ones, is Revelation chapter 15. John again, seeing more of his vision in heaven. That Jesus revealed to him. John writes, "And I saw in heaven another sign, great and wonderful, seven angels with seven plagues. These are the last ones, because by means of them the anger of God is brought to a finish. And I saw what seemed to be a glassy sea mingled with fire, and those who come off victorious from the wild beast and from its image and from the number of its name standing by the glassy sea, having harps of God. And they are singing the song of Moses, the slave of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and wonderful are your works, Jehovah God the Almighty. Righteous and true are your ways, King of eternity. Who will not really fear you, Jehovah, and glorify your name, because you alone are loyal? For all the nations will come and worship before you, because your righteous decrees have been made manifest. And after these things I saw, and the sanctuary of the tent of the witness was opened in heaven, and the seven angels with the seven plagues emerged from the sanctuary, clothed with clean, bright linen, and girded about their breasts with golden girdles. And one of the four living creatures gave the seven angels seven golden bowls that were full of the anger of God, who lives forever and ever. And the sanctuary became filled with smoke because of the glory of God and because of his power. And no one was able to enter into the sanctuary until the seven plagues of the seven angels were finished. And that concludes chapter 15 of Revelation, and it concludes our Bible study for today, little children. I hope that was something that you enjoyed, appreciated. What else can we say now? We have a lot of time remaining. I'm so weak that I went out and I couldn't stand up for long. I had to sit down while I was waiting for some transaction to occur at a certain institution. And I was, you know, I'm very weak, is what it is, very weak. And of course, I still have pain, too. But I also have mental confusion. So I can't just, you know, rush ahead. I have to be very careful about everything I do. Fortunately, I was already doing that because I had been very, very much suffering post-traumatic stress disorder. I suppose it is what it was, but it made me very fearful of anything going wrong because of the loss of my wife ever since then. And I had been with her every day. In her last days, I'd spent some time with her every single day. So that took a lot of effort to go driving to get to her every day after she became beyond the point where I could help her as her only provider. And it was hard because, I mean, I had to adopt a very, very, very single-minded attitude because the staff of the retirement home in which she was living were doing everything in their power to make me go away. They didn't want me to see my wife every day because they wanted to have full control over her. I wanted to be with her when she was eating meals, at least one meal, during the day so that I could have some influence on what they were doing and how they were, you know, treating her, because I'd been treating her as her caregiver, her primary caregiver, for, well, ever since, you know, all the days leading up to that time when she became a resident in the retirement home, so it was very difficult. And then when we finally did get some say in what she was eating every day, they tried to force the food on her, even if she didn't want it. So, I mean, we got them to agree to give her milk, but they thought that meant they had to try and force her to drink milk every day. That they would be, they thought, they felt, that they were worried that they might be you know, brought to trial because they didn't give the milk every day. So they tried to force it on her, and she would just pick it up and tip it over. When she didn't want it, when she knew it would make her sick, if she didn't want milk, she'd have to just pour it out because they wouldn't give her any other alternative. So, I mean, they told me that, that that's what she did. I never saw her do that. But it's a very sad thing to go into these institutions because they're afraid. They also force feed their inmate, their residents. They force feed them because they're afraid that the government is going to bring the severe hand of the law down upon them if any of their patients survive. I mean, not survive, if they starve, sorry. If any of their residents starve, which is good, it's healthy to starve to some extent, to not always be overeating, right? It's just healthy to fast. But they're afraid of the government, and they don't think on their own. They just are so afraid that their residents will starve that they force feed them. And so there are shocking things going on there. Very shocking things. One gentleman who is not in his mental, you know, not in his right mind, so they said, he wanted to leave the institution, or wanted to leave the retirement home. And when I went out the door one day, he followed me out. They're locked. It would have locked behind me, but he followed me out. And I told him, I guess I did him a disservice, but I don't know. But I tried to warn him that once they found out that he'd escaped, he wouldn't be too happy about it. And that made him turn around and voluntarily go back in. So it was very, and I told them that this happened. I don't know if they believed me, but that's what happened. But it's a very sad place, very sad place. But I was so focused on my job, I didn't think of it that way. I just had a task every day. I had to do it. And so afterwards, when my wife did pass, I was still in that mode. I mean, but it was sort of like post-traumatic syndrome even before she passed. It was, I mean, there was so much trauma every day from, you know, having to help her to get to the bathroom every 2 hours, especially at night. It was hard because I couldn't get some sleep. You know, there was so many different problems. I mean, and if this went on for, I think, many months. I'm not sure how long. Oh my goodness, it was a long time. And then eventually she fell out of the bed, jumped out of bed, hurt herself, and when I bandaged that up, you know, she fell off her chair another time and got a cut underneath the bandages that I couldn't see, and that got infected, and then she was too weak at that point, I thought, to go to the hospital. I didn't think she should go when she was that weak, so I nurtured her back into some a stronger condition, and then I took her to the hospital. But this is such a sad thing that we can be suffering like I am, and the only thing that some of these caregivers are interested in is attempting to break our will so that we conform to what they want. They're not, in almost every case that is, they're not interested in what we want. That's why I didn't want to send her to the hospital. I'm sure that's the exact reason. But because they prey upon your fears, an attempt to make you succumb to what they want to do, instead of finding out what you want and attempting to comply with what you want. Which is, obviously, that's the right way, and trying to make you comply is the wrong way. I just saw a movie today called The Final Say, and it was a fantastic movie. It was absolutely fantastic. The idea was that don't worry about getting the last word, because God in heaven always has the last or the final say, or the last word. God always gets the final say. Right? We don't get the final say. That's the truth. But it was such a great movie, the way it happened. It was, oh, it's such phenomenal, romantic movie, but it was so tragic in the middle, where the wife decided she had to get a divorce so that her husband could marry a woman who could bear him children. And she wanted a divorce because she loved her husband. And her husband didn't want her to leave him. But what a fantastic movie. The way they were brought back together was, it made me cry. It really did. And again, this is a movie that's, now maybe that one had a good rating. I don't think it did. Let me see if I can find out what it was. Let's look for it. Okay. 'The Final.' I'm on Yes Movies. 'The Final Say.' There it is. And it was, okay, it was 5.8 out of 10. That was a very rare one. I find generally the only really good movies, in at least, you know, in the vast majority of cases, the only really good movies are rated less than 1 out of 10. That's, or they're not rated at all. Those are the best. And they're the ones that make me cry, because they're so beautiful and emotional, and generally more than 1 out of 10 is a bomb, or it's corrupt. But there are good movies that also, you know, rated 5.8 or 6 or 7 or 8 that aren't corrupt, and that have are essentially good, you know, essentially incorrupt and really beautiful stories, and they make me cry too. So, but they're rather the exception. Most of the ones that are rated well, it's because they have alcohol or drugs in them, or they're rated well because the corrupt people watching them want to see these corrupt things. And that's the only reason they're rated so high. Well, it's wonderful. I'm very, very glad that I get to talk to you, despite my terrible weakness and the pain I have. And I also want to know how you're doing, if you're doing well. I hope you're doing well. How are you doing? How's your family? Everybody. How are you? How are your children? And how are the domestic animals in your life? How is everybody? Because I love you. And we're nearly done, but we have a couple of minutes here. I mean, there's so many things that most of which right now are not going to be, well, I wouldn't know what to say or what things would be beneficial to mention. I got some food today. I went out and I was so tired. I was at the bank. I went to get food. But I was really tired. Like, not tired, but fatigued, you know. Because I had a lot of sleep last night, but it was quite a lot. But it was, except I get up every hour and a half or 2 hours to pass water all night. So I lose out on, I suppose, some of my most restful sleep that way. But I was very tired and fatigued. Fatigue is this enormous fatigue with no reason behind it. You know, I know. I do understand the reason for some of it, yeah. But it's just not. It's not a normal fatigue, right? You can't make it go away by resting. So it's not that kind of fatigue. So, you know, I mean, I know what I think the cause is of these things, but it's complicated. So let's just say that I was very fatigued, right? Extremely fatigued. So I was out there and I was at, you know, I went to the grocery. I mean, I can function, as you can tell. I can talk, you know. I can stand up, but I can't stand up for a long time without getting extremely tired. I'm, like I said, I don't sleep for long periods at night. And I still have dehydration, somewhat, but not nearly yet. You can see the dehydration is essentially gone, so that's good. That was the vitamin D poisoning. But there are many symptoms of that kind of poisoning too. But the fact that the dehydration is essentially vanished is good. And, you know, the fact that I'm improving is good. But that's just the, you know, the vitamin D part. I'm not improving in the other areas. You know, my teeth are not improving. You know, we still have to do the main procedure that we need for that. We have to do that very promptly. I mean, you know, if we get, I mean, we're never perfect, usually, in our health. So we are coming to the end now. I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful day, wherever you are. And this is September 8th, 2023. It's 20:55 hours Eastern Daylight Time. I'm Ward Green, and this is my beloved crow. My special Hamilton chronograph. And this is Cassie, my Casio digital battery-driven watch, saying bye for now.